Hey, everybody. Today, I've got a Bitcoin 101 episode, and this is about just a few simple ways to buy Bitcoin. The reason I'm doing this is that after the last episode where I was talking about the upcoming halving and all this other kind of semi-deep Bitcoin stuff, a buddy of mine called me, and he was like, dude, how do you even buy it? I don't even know how to buy it. Can you back up a couple of steps and give me a 101 for how to buy Bitcoin? Which made me realize that, yeah, you know, it's not the, I mean, if you spend the time, it's easy to figure out how to do it. But if you don't have the time or if you don't have the inclination and you don't want to, you know, do any research, how do you buy Bitcoin? And another friend of mine who I actually talked into buying a little over a year ago, he came to me because I was like, you better buy Bitcoin when it was at like 18,000. I was like, you better buy Bitcoin. And he was like, US Bank won't let me do it. And I, dude, US Bank will let you put money into Coinbase. Just if you need me to walk you through it, I will, but you can do it. And so he figured out how to do it. He bought Bitcoin. I think he got in around 20, and he's now tripled his money plus. And so he still hasn't bought me the pony that he owes me, but I should have realized, having spoken to him and then now this next guy who called me last week, that it's not so intuitive to buy. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So before you buy Bitcoin, though, I want to establish three things. Number one is plan to hold it for at least 4 years, or better yet, five, or better yet, even longer. Why would I say that? Because nobody has lost holding Bitcoin for 4 years or more. In fact, looking back exactly 4 years from today, I'm recording this on Saturday, March 23rd at 2 p.m. Today, right this moment, the price of Bitcoin is $65,030. If you would have purchased 4 years ago on March 23rd, 2020, the price of Bitcoin was $5,831. So that's about an 11.x increase. So if you had put $10,000 into Bitcoin 4 years ago, you'd have a nice, healthy $110,000 and change. No, not every four-year period is going to have that much of an increase. But again, nobody has lost money holding for 4 years or more. Okay, the second thing I want to establish is this. The value of the dollar is constantly declining. Yes, you've seen the prices are going up everywhere. And no, it's not Putin's fault. And why would I say that? Because what was her? Jen Psaki used to call, before she stepped down, she used to call our current inflation Putin's price hikes. And if you believe that, I've got a bridge to sell you. But Jen Psaki, Karine Jean-Pierre, Kayleigh McEnany, Kellyanne Conway, they're all paid liars, and that's bullshit. And if you believe that our current state of inflation is a direct result of Putin, then please turn this off now. You're not smart enough to figure any of this shit out. The reason that inflation is happening is because the dollar is increasing in supply. The Fed is continuously printing money. And remember the real definition of inflation. The 1913 Webster's Dictionary defines inflation as undue expansion or increase from overissue said of currency. In the same year, 1913, when the Federal Reserve Bank was established, it put out some publications and defined inflation as, quote, the process by which additional currency is created through a process other than a proportional increase in the production of goods. So basically, more currency being produced than whatever might be backing it, which at the time was gold. So money is the purest measure of supply and demand. The more money is printed, by nature, the more expensive goods and services get. Then you get your wage inflation, which in general doesn't keep up with the actual cost of goods. But then the wage inflation drives further price increases, and you have a doom loop of rising prices. Anyway, I digress. So we've established one, plan to hold your Bitcoin for 4 years, or better yet, five, or even longer. And number two, the value of the dollar is constantly declining, not because we don't tax the rich enough, not because Putin, but because of the increasing money supply. So why is it so important to establish that the value of your dollars are declining? The reason that I'm including that fact is that people knock Bitcoin because of its volatility, because it goes up and it goes down, it goes up and it goes down. And while that is a frightening thing to live through, we just lived through a pretty frightening bear market. The fact is that your dollars, your wealth, your net worth in dollar denominated terms is constantly being eaten away by inflation. And you could argue that inflation is confiscation. And why could you say that? Well, why do we have inflation? Inflation happens on purpose. The Fed target rate is 2%. They want to have a constant, ongoing 2% rate of inflation. Well, by that rate, if we were to be able to stick to 2%, then the value of your dollars would decline by half every 36 years. And clearly, we haven't been in that 2% window for a while, so the value of your dollars are going down much faster than that. Now, the final thing that I need you to understand and internalize before you buy that first Bitcoin is this: the value of your stock portfolio, whether it's in a 401k, an IRA, or a brokerage account, could drop by 50% or more at any time. Even if you're in safe assets like S&P index funds and the like, it can happen. In the year 2000, in the dot-com bubble, the S&P went down about 50%. During the global financial crisis in 2009, the stock market went down about 50% off its high. In 2020, during our Black Swan COVID event, it went down somewhere in the 30% range. So you've got guys like macro guys like George Gammon and Harry Dent, who will give you multiple scenarios where your nest egg, that safe nest egg hidden inside some IRA, could drop by 50% or more. So the illusion of safety in having a diversified portfolio is just that. It's an illusion. So people talk about the volatility of Bitcoin, but it has been hands down the best performing asset over the last decade plus. So why do I want you to understand these three things before you buy your first Bitcoin? Because there are people out there telling stories, like the one I'm going to play now. I'm going to play you a quick clip, and this features Tim Buckley, who's the chairman and CEO of Vanguard. Vanguard, if you haven't heard, will not let you buy any of the 10 new Bitcoin ETFs on their platform. They don't plan to have an ETF themselves of their own, and they don't plan to offer any of the new ETFs to their account holders. Here's why.
Spot Bitcoin ETFs. Mm-hmm. Question came in, hey, we know you're not offering one. Have you changed your mind? What would it take for you to change your mind? We don't plan to, and we don't, we're not going to change our minds around this. Unless the asset class changes. Yep. Before, why? First of all, we don't believe it belongs. Like a Bitcoin ETF belongs in a long-term portfolio. Someone's saving for their retirement. Mm-hmm. It's a speculative asset.
That's exactly it.
And the funds that we offer invest in asset classes that actually have underlying cash flow. So like we mentioned stocks, you're buying the forward earnings of a company.
That's
and that bond, right?
Has coupon and principal payments.
Yeah, you're going to pay me back and you're going to pay me something for lending you the money.
Exactly.
Right? So they both can be valued. And that's for us, we can understand why they would rise up in a portfolio and the role they will play, and we can model them. Something like Bitcoin is just too volatile and is not a, it's not a store of value. It hasn't been. Mm. And this, it's very volatile. There, when stocks got hammered in recent crises, that Bitcoin went right with them. And so it is speculative. Really tough to think about how it belongs in a long-term portfolio.
Okay, so first off, he says it doesn't belong in retirement portfolios because it's a quote-unquote speculative asset. Well, Real quick, let's take an example from the Vanguard portfolio, and that's the Vanguard Emerging Markets Select Stock Fund. The symbol is VMMSX. It has $241 million in assets under management, an expense ratio of almost 1%. And for the last year, it's down 26.5%. And for the last 3 years, it's down 12.3%. So if I'm putting my money someplace for 3 years and Vanguard loses over 26% of it in the last year, that's considered investing, but Bitcoin is forbidden because it's a speculative asset. What else? Vanguard added $155,408,829 shares of Tesla to their funds between February of 2022 and February of 2023. In February of 2022, shares of Tesla were trading around 270. Then a year later, shares were trading in the 180s, 190s, and today they're in the 160s. But apparently Tesla is not a speculative volatile asset, is it, Mr. Buckley? So then he goes on to say Bitcoin is not a store of value. It hasn't been. So again, out of all assets and all asset classes, Bitcoin has been the best investment over the last decade, but Vanguard can't model it, so it's not a store of value. The best part, though, is after he said Bitcoin is too volatile to offer alongside their stock products, he says that when stocks get hammered, Bitcoin went down with them. So stocks are volatile too, just by that statement, but we smug twats at Vanguard, we'll let you buy those, but we won't let you buy Bitcoin. Anyway, what's my point with all this? Well, owning Bitcoin is scary. It is volatile. It does have cycles that are painful, and it's subject to some crazy corrections. But the illusion of safety and comfort that you get from owning index funds, Vanguard funds, and the like, well, your bubble could burst very suddenly. And with each passing year, many might argue that that gets more and more likely. So once again, before you buy that first Bitcoin, repeat after me, I will hold my Bitcoin for at least 4 years, better yet five, better yet even longer. Number two, the value of the US dollar, dollars that I might be holding, the value is constantly declining and therefore constantly reducing the purchasing power of my savings because of the increasing money supply. And finally, the value of my stock portfolio, whether it's in a 401k, an IRA, or a brokerage account, could drop by 50% or more at any time. Okay, you graduated. Let's buy some Bitcoin. So, what's the easiest way to go out and buy Bitcoin? Well, ultimately, I'd say that the easiest way to just do it, to just get started, would be to log in to whatever your brokerage account is. If you're, I'm talking E-Trade or Schwab or Fidelity, not Vanguard. Just log in and buy one of these new Bitcoin ETFs. Owning Bitcoin can be a pain in the ass, especially if you're an old Luddite like me. So if you're just dipping your toes in, buy the BlackRock ETF. The symbol is IBIT, or you can buy the Fidelity ETF. That symbol is FBTC, or the ARK 21 Shares Fund, symbol ARKB. Full disclosure, I own all three of these. They're all sitting at about 25 basis points or less for their fees, and they trade just like a stock. You buy it, you set it, you forget it. So buying Bitcoin is that easy? Well, technically no, because you're not actually taking possession of the underlying assets. When you buy these ETF products, here's basically what's happening. You know, you give them your money. Then at the end of the day, they take your money and they buy Bitcoin with it. If the price of Bitcoin goes up, the price of the ETF goes up and the value of your holdings go up. It's as simple as that. So if you're a hardcore Bitcoiner, well, A, if you're a hardcore Bitcoiner, you're not going to be listening to this podcast. But if you're hardcore, you don't want to do this. If you're hardcore, you want to own the actual underlying asset. But if you're just kind of dipping your toes into it and you want to get started, well, the advantages of going this route are it's easy. Your brokerage is likely, if you're an adult, you've already got a brokerage account set up. You can do it inside a SEP or a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA. You don't have to worry about storage, hot wallets, cold wallets, seed phrases, etc. And the tax advantages, well, it makes it easy if it's in a straight up brokerage account. You can manage your capital gains right in there, and you're going to get your all your tax forms and whatnot. So it just makes things easy. But what about the disadvantages? Well, the main disadvantage of going this route of buying these ETFs inside of your brokerage is that you don't really own the asset. You're essentially kind of buying shares of the asset, and you can't convert it directly to Bitcoin. Part of the SEC's agreement with these companies that issue these ETFs is that you can't do in-kind exchanges. The only way to get your money back out is in cash. So then essentially what they would do is they would give you cash back. And if you wanted to buy Bitcoin, then you'd have to cash out and go to a Bitcoin exchange and buy it with your cash. The other disadvantage is that you're pretty much stuck trading during trading hours, okay? Because these ETFs trade during market hours. Why would that be a problem? Well, Bitcoin, the asset, trades 24/7. So if the price would drop at 10 p.m. on a Thursday night or on Christmas Day, if the only avenue that you have to buy your Bitcoin is through this brokerage, you can't throw more dough in and buy the dip. So we'll give you an example. Last Saturday, we had some healthy dips, and we're still continuing to have them. So each time Bitcoin went down another $1,000, I threw some money in and bought instantly in my Coinbase account. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. So when it dipped under 70, I bought some. When it dipped under 69, under 68, under 67, and under 66, I bought some more. These are not life-changing amounts, not even really noticeable in my overall holdings, but I could do this with the asset on a Saturday, whereas I could not have done that with the ETFs. I'd have to wait till Monday during trading hours. Also, you have to sometimes wait to fund your brokerage account if you don't have cash in there. So depending on your relationship with your brokerage, you know, they might take a day or two before your deposits get recognized, and you might miss an opportunity. Anyway, let's real quickly look at a couple other ways that you can buy Bitcoin easily. One, do you have a Venmo account? Do you have a Cash App account? Do you know that you can buy Bitcoin right inside those? And the fees on Cash App are super low. In fact, now that I think about it, I should stop buying on Coinbase and move to Cash App, because there really is a big difference in fees. You can also buy Bitcoin in your PayPal account. And there's another app that is called Strike, S-T-R-I-K-E, that lets you buy Bitcoin just like Cash App. And again, it has very low fees. But it also acts as a wallet, so that if you're going to plan a surfing trip to El Salvador and you want to buy yourself some pupusas while you're down there, you can easily pay with Strike right on your phone. Now, there's a ton of other apps and wallets that let you buy Bitcoin, but Strike, to me, is the easiest and most useful. Also, Jack Mahlers, the kid who runs the company, is a total badass, and it's good to support young entrepreneurs like him. Okay, so if you're brand new to Bitcoin, the easiest entry point is the ETFs, and next are the apps, which you probably already have on your phone, or you could easily get in 2 seconds. But next up, you've got your exchanges, your Bitcoin exchanges, crypto exchanges like Coinbase, Gemini, Kraken, K-R-A-K-E-N, and Swan. There's a ton more, but you're going to have to connect your bank account. You're going to have to do some KYC or know your customer verification, but I promise you, it's really not hard. And yes, they will allow you to use your U.S. bank account, if that's what you got, to fund your account on the exchange. If I were to recommend one to get started with, I personally would go with Swan. For one thing, Swan is Bitcoin only. If you look through Coinbase and the other exchanges, they offer tons of shit coins. And between you and me, that's just a disaster waiting to happen. Stick with Bitcoin only. Don't gamble on the other altcoins and shit coins. Also, if you want to learn more about Bitcoin, at Swan, they've got a ton of really good educational materials. Like I said, I've had a Swan account for a while. They have great customer service. By the way, that's swan.com. My account is nestled within a Roth IRA, which is beautiful. The guy that they assigned to me is a guy named John Haar, H-A-A-R. At one point, I had a question. Wrote in, he called me on his cell phone that night. Just excellent, excellent customer service. So once again, probably the easiest way to get started, buy an ETF. Number two, the easiest way to buy actual Bitcoin, do it in one of your Cash App or your Venmo or PayPal. And then followed by that is getting on an actual crypto exchange. And my recommendation is swan.com. So I hope this was helpful. And again, please just hold the asset for 4 years. This is not financial advice, but set it, forget it. And there's, in all likelihood, you're going to end up with a lot more value in your pocket 4 years from now than you have today. So that's it for today. I'll talk at you next time. Nothing in this podcast is meant to be financial, legal, or tax advice. Though there's some kick-ass information here, it's for informational purposes only. Take control of your retirement planning, but get professional counsel if you need tax, legal, or financial advice. For more content like this, join my mailing list at RogueRetirementLounge.com. And if you have questions about retirement, investing, entrepreneurship, business, or anything else, my email address is matt@RogueRetirementLounge.com.